In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. These words again from the first lesson earlier. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances. Talk about an impossible order. Those of you who are cynics or pessimists must be having a great time with Paul's words here. You have to be asking yourselves, how is this possible? To be joyful always, to pray continually, to give thanks in all circumstances. Not even the most pious Christian is able to do this, right? Does Paul know what it's like to be human? Or do we feel that what Paul is asking for here is something like assuring a 5'1" high school senior that he can become a star professional basketball player? From a human standpoint, that's what Paul is doing. He's pointing us to the impossible possibilities. And yet at the end of today's first reading, Paul makes the impossible possible when he blesses the Thessalonians with the words, "May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you, make you holy through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it." Because of the Spirit of God working in us, we can become radically transformed people, people full of love and joy and gratitude. That's what Paul is saying here. Yes, Paul knew that God gives to us all the possibilities for living for him now and forever in the birth of his son Jesus. What's more, he wants through us to give the possibilities for a life that we have in him to others. It's not that why we are in this place teaching and serving or being formed for ministry. So when Paul writes, "Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances," was he simply trying to divert the attention of his readers from the trials and troubles that faced them because of their faith? Was he simply saying, "Don't worry, be happy, laugh a little. Yes, laugh your troubles away"? Obviously not. Paul knew that true joy for people does not come that way. For if all that you and I have to do is to laugh, it won't be long until we'll be joining the masses of our world's troubled people, people who seem to look at life with empty stares, stares that say, "We don't know what to expect next." How tragic it is that our world is full of people who do not understand the difference that God can make in their lives. People whose attitude toward God is, "Who cares what God wants? God does not know who I am anyway, and probably has never heard of me." So when Paul says to us, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you," Paul is saying not only does God know who we are, he also can call us by name. Jesus did not come down to earth on the first Christmas to live, to die, and to rise again for people he did not know. Jesus came down to earth to conquer sin and death and Satan and death for us, for people he knows. He came down to earth to declare that his victory is our victory. He came down to earth to die for you and for me. That's the heart of the Advent message. I don't know about you, but my heart is beating with joy because of that message. By the way, did you know that the drum is probably the musical instrument that's most like the human heart? A muffled drum with this heartbeat of sadness, sorrow, and heaviness can strike the note of conscience, judgment, and doom. I can still hear 50 plus years later the sounds of the muffled drum when the horse-drawn carriage carrying the body of President Kennedy moved through the streets of Washington, D.C. And who of us alive at that time did not feel the depression that gripped our nation over that assassination? in the movie Glory, which is still one of my favorites. The drumbeat makes you aware of the agony of the black Civil War regiment's struggle for recognition. It also causes me to agonize over the racial tension that still exists in our country and in our city today. Every time I listen to the soundtrack of that movie, the drumbeat seems to be what dominates the music for me. But that same instrument, by changing the beat, pitch, and timbre of the drumhead, can make us dance. Watch the toe-tapping of spectators in a July 4th parade. Catch the sight of children who sway, yes, sway back and forth and wave their arms as though they were directing a band in a Christmas concert. Both those drumbeats are part of our faith, the drumbeat of judgment and the tap of the dance. And what should the drumbeat be like as we await the coming of our Lord into our lives again this Christmas, as we await his coming at the end of our lives? It dare not be the beat of doom, but a dance of joy as our feet tap and our bodies sway and our hands clap because, yes, because the Lord is with us. Those of us who will again be worshiping the manger child in a few weeks do not need to be reminded to be joyful always, to give thanks in all circumstances. We've been doing this every day of our lives since our new birth and baptism. Yes, with Isaiah we can shout out, "I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall exult in my God." Boom, boom, boom. The drumbeat of joy flows out of our hearts. So move over, all cynics. Holding on to good is possible. Rejoicing always is possible. Praying continually is possible. Avoiding all kinds of evil is possible. Giving thanks in all circumstances is possible. God possible. As the drumbeat of his love goes on and on and on and on in you and me. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.